you to turn in your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I want to talk to you about walking by faith without sight. In other words, and I don't mean to be rude in that, and I hope that Ronnie doesn't take it bad, but Ronnie would have as much luck seeing God as we do, even though Ronnie is blind. We see the Lord by His Word. And Ronnie can sit here and listen to the Word just as good as we can, and just as, have just as much faith as we have, even though we have eyesight. And that when Ronnie, if he trusts the Lord, will see the Lord as He is, and he will see for his first time. Don't you know that'd be a glorious day? There was a man in the Bible that never had eyesight from his birth also, and the Lord healed him, made eyes for him. And you can imagine what he did when he saw his parents and the people, and even gazing upon the Lord who did that for him. Well, walking by faith without sight, I'm not talking about that we can't literally see this or that, but I'm talking about the Word of God being read. Now, obviously, we have the Word of God read to us. And it's strange how that when God calls preachers, if they will stick with the Word and read the Word, it opens your eyes. We had a good call from a lady in Thorston that told me she got saved several days ago by watching the program on Grace Bible Study, and one of the messages, and it was, and Donnie will love this, it was his dad's funeral. She got saved by it. And she said, I was a Baptist all my life. Then I went to another and came back to Baptist. She said, I was full of pride. And she said, all that's dung. So she got it. And she's going to write me a letter and let me know some things. But, and I gave her Jack's address up there in Birmingham or whatever for that class on Monday. So it was a great message. I was mowing and Kathy come running out there like she's on fire. And I go, something wrong with that woman. And she said, this is an important call. You need to come in. I said, okay. Yeah, well, no use leaving out in the middle. And I got off, and the lady just wanted to talk to me about it all. And she was ecstatic. I mean, she was so glad. And she said, now it's working on my husband. So we'll pray for them, too. All right, 2 Corinthians 5. The first five verses, or six, are based on the fact that if we lost what we have here, this body, we have one made without hands eternal in the heavens, and we groan about this, and the groanings is going to match Romans 8. If you read Romans 8, it's about we which have the first fruits groan within ourselves, okay? And you can't groan within yourself without the Spirit there to make intercession in on and on. But now verse 7, he said, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Well, back up to verse 6, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We don't see anything unless God shows it to us by His Word. Okay? So it's very important. We read the Word of God. Now, turn to Hebrews 4 and let's connect on something. Well, I apologize. Since you're in 2 Corinthians, go to chapter 4 for something I want to read to you. In 2 Corinthians 4, look with me in verse 17. Do you have problems? Everyday problems? Some days are good, some days are bad, right? All right. He said in verse 17, for our light affliction. Now, obviously, everything that's happened to us is light compared to the walk to Calvary. And folks, Jesus Christ in misery, walking to Calvary, carrying that on his back, and then what they're going to do to him at Calvary, driving the spikes into his arm and his legs. But he said, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, time-wise, a moment, is short in comparison to eternal. Right? Think about eternally. Eternally. In other words, never-ending, Alpha and Omega, the beginning, end, whatever. There is no end except to mankind's end. We know end. We know when a man goes, like when Donnie's daddy died. Very dear. Loved the man. But his time of Ecclesiastes came there. And He passed on from one position to another. He went to be with the Lord. Then he had an end of time as we know it. There's no end of time with God. We cannot think it. We can't think it through. We can't imagine it, that God, the power of God, is eternal. It's eternal. It don't end. So you want it to be right with God, with you, because you want to go to where there's no end. The fear of all man is coming to what? The end. To that point in your life when you close your eyes, then the fear is the transformation. No, not if you're a believer. The fear is, what's it going to be like to the end? Will I have cancer? Will I die in a car crash? Suffering? Will I drown? Will I have an embolism? Will things happen to me? That's the fear of it. But a saved person knows by the Word of God that it doesn't end. It's just a matter of transfer. It's a matter of going from this condition to a new condition greater and far above all we can even think or ask. So in verse 17, for our light affliction, going to that end of whatever it is, whether that end is going to sleep in the Lord or that end is being caught up alive. You with me? For our light affliction, which is but a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He just told you that your affliction on earth works for a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He said, if we suffer, and on. Now, 18. While we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Does everything you see, will it go away at one point or another? Okay? But the things which are not seen are eternal. You focus on that. In other words, God says what He'll do and shows what He'll do, but we've never seen it. Hope is knowing that it will, and is it eternal? What we see is what? Has anybody realized that in age? The older you get, does it more look temporal after all than when you were young? You're invincible when you're young. But it begins as you get older, you begin to see that terminal effect that's coming upon. All right? Now, turn to Hebrews chapter 4 and watch. So, can we read about things that we can't see? That's the key. All right? Then how important is this Bible? And yet, what do people really think of this Bible? It's the Holy Bible they carry it around, or they put it in their house, but they don't read it and they don't study it, or don't go to a study because they got something else to do everywhere. And everything's more important than actually seeing and building up that hope for that walk. Why? We walk by faith. Faith in the Word of God. Folks, how do you have faith in the Word of God if you don't know the Word of God? That was the issue with that lady. She didn't know. Okay? Hebrews 4, look with me in verse 12. For the Word of God, then there must be a Word of God, right? For the Word of God is quick. Okay? It is powerful. I mean, look at these words. It's quick. That means it's alive. It is as effective today as it was the day it was written. It's quick. It's alive. Does it affect you when you read it? Yes, it does. Okay? It's quick. It's powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. What can man make? He can make a two-edged sword, right? Well, what is sharp? And that's hard to imagine because a sword can just pierce right through you, all the way through, out your back. This word is sharper than a two-edged sword than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder a soul and spirit. So can the soul and spirit be divided? Undoubtedly. And that would be by the Word of God. And of the joints and marrow, and is, and the key, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, what is the heart in accordance with the Word of God? It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who would know it in that verse? The Word of God. The Word of God knows you. You know why people don't read? They don't want to know why God knows about them. Come on. Have you ever tried to sit and read and your flesh fight it? Set a time apart and I'm going to do this. And the next thing you know, that word is over here and you're doing something else. It's so unmeaningful and unuseful. And yet you're doing it better. You're better off. I got to get that done. And yet the Word of God is laying there, and it is a discerner of your thoughts and intents of the heart. Right? Turn with me to 2 Timothy. Am I doing something wrong, or are you just going to sleep? Much study is wearisome to the flesh. 2 Timothy chapter 3. So, the Word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper, piercing, dividing, a discerner. That's what it can do. Those are the things it can do. Now, obviously, if a man had a sword and you come against him, you don't want him to stick you in it. I mean, do you? You don't want him to stick that in you. Then, what would the flesh not want about the Word of God? It wouldn't want that cutting and discerning. Have you ever went to a Bible class and got cut up? And went and thought about it and said, you know, there's no way that preacher could have known that about me. That had to be the Word of God. Folks, like I've told you many years ago, if I was God, I'd kill us all. I'd raise monkeys on a monkey island. They're more fun to watch. No. Hey, come on, folks. There's no way that I could possibly know what you did this week. But the Word of God does. And it knows your thoughts and intents. And it cuts in there, and it releases you if you allow it. You know, the big deal was the hippies in the 60s said they had to go find themselves. Well, where had they gone? They said, I have to go find myself. Well, where is thyself at? Thyself had left, I guess. They had to go find themselves. They wanted to find. Well, what they call it today is you have to find out what's you instead of lying about it. Well, you don't have to go nowhere to do that. You can sit in your home and find out, hey, this is what I truly am. Well, I know what I truly am in the Bible. I'm wretched. When I try to do good, I do bad. I try to do good. And you don't end up apologizing to God for being what I am, and He already knew that anyway. He's got me any time I turn. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3, look with me in verse 16. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. So we have the inspiring ability of God on this quick and powerful, sharper, piercing, dividing, and discerner of the Word of God itself. He said all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness. All right? And it is of God, isn't it? Okay? Now, turn to Genesis chapter 1. I got just a few questions. Maybe they'll interest you, maybe they won't. Maybe you'd rather go eat McDonald's. Genesis chapter 1, what does the Word of God say that I got to walk by faith? Verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I wasn't taught that in college. What time I went, they said it's the Bang Theory. So man changed his faith in about God and said that God didn't really do this. Right? Turn to Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 4. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, look with me in verse 32. And I always check parentheses out to get some idea. And I went back to verse, I was reading this, and of course this has to do with a tribulation that will be brought upon the people by the foreknowledge of God. I mean, God took a people and chose them out of all people, Israel. He hedged them about. The phraseology of hedged them about, it's like a vineyard and the individual that keeps it hedges about and cuts and prunes, and he keeps all the wild stuff out and all the weeds out, and he keeps all the animals out, and he takes care of that vineyard, and he sits around and looks at that vineyard and hopes for that vineyard to grow out in some of the best grapes and some of the best stuff that he can possibly imagine. And what happens is a wild one comes in and engrafts into them, and they become wild grapes. And God refers to this as Israel. He said, I took care of you, I helped you about, and all you did was you went to the Gentiles and began to act like them. You act like the heathen. You took their gods on you, and you did this. And so he sent prophets to them to try to correct them. And all the prophecy was about, if you don't change your ways, there's a tribulation coming to you. Now, in Deuteronomy 4, look at verse 27, and the Lord shall scatter you among the nations. Now, that's amazing when you think about, had they not scattered themselves among the nations anyway? Not the way they were taught. Well, he's talking about it. They would take the Gentile way upon them, but try to keep the way of God, they thought, by tradition. And God said, no, literally, I'm going to scatter you among the nations. What's he saying? Then you're not going to be in my vineyard any longer. I'm going to scatter you out there, and you're going to be out there, all right? Now, look with me in verse 27. The Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. And there you shall serve gods to work of men's hands, wood and stone. And that Jeremiah talks about, they committed adultery with stocks and stones. They made idols, okay? He said in verse 28, wood and stone which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But if from this thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou shalt seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and it is all, correct? They cannot trust in their heart in any way, form, or fashion. They have to do it with all their heart. Verse 30. When thou art in what? Tribulation. And all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shall be obedient unto his voice. And when he says in the prophecy, he shall save all Israel. All Israel, that's what in that verse? All that turn, seek. In other words, they don't go the way of their nation. They turn and they seek. Why? Because what will the tribulation do to them? It'll be a time of severe trouble that will make them see they need their Messiah. Okay? Now, you'd have thought that Rome could have done that to them. Wasn't the Messiah in front of them? Were they in bondage to Rome? And yet, what did they say? We have no king but Caesar crucified. That's how hard their heart was in the eyes of God. You know, folks, when you think about it, that Bible that you're reading is available to every religious person in America. And instead of opening it up and reading it to be the Word of God, they take what Dr. So-and-so says. And if Dr. So-and-so says, it's good enough for them. If Mom and Dad and Grandma and Grandma believe it, it's good enough for me. That old-time religion. Problem is, what if it's wrong, and you check it out and it ain't right, and you say, well, they must be right, they wouldn't lie. Now watch this. He says in verse 31, for the Lord thy God is merciful, is a merciful God. Parentheses, right? He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which swear unto him. Oh, come on, folks. Why didn't God kill all Israel? Because there were some men in the Bible that believed God. And he made a covenant with them. Okay? For ask now of the days that are past, which are before thee, since the days that God created man upon the earth. What did God do? Then I would say man ought to be under his dominion. instead of telling God what he meant to say and telling God what he should have done, what should man be doing? Believing what he says. Okay? So I want to do that. He says, and ask from one side of heaven unto the other whether there have been any such thing as this great thing is or have been heard like it. Do you realize how bad tribulation is going to be? I think about it. God's mercy today. Has God helped you out in spite of you? Did you deserve what you got in help? I get all upset sometimes, and then I sit down and meditate upon it, and I think about why God did what he did to me that day. And he saved me from a headache, and I'm angry. Oh, wretched man that I am. God, why did you do that to me? I didn't do this. God says, shut up. I'm taking care of you, idiot. I'm taking care of you. And then later on you sit down and thank you, Lord, for taking care of me. I am that idiot you said I was. Now watch. Turn to Psalm 24. We read the psalmist. He has a lot of things to say about the goodness of God. We read the book of Proverbs and we find out what the man thought about it. But in Psalm 24, I thought about verse 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Why did Moses go to the bush? Because it's burning. He wasn't just a bush sitting there. It looked like any other bush. This thing's burning. He burned it up. Moses looked at it and goes, I got to see this. Isn't there a burning in you to understand what God said to you? Or have you suppressed it with all the things around you? You see, set your affections on things above. That's the problem. People, they just push down that fire of God that's in you to look in the Word of God, and you want to look at everything else. And you don't put the effort out to see what God is truly saying and wanting to say to you and wanting to help His child. So you suppress it, and it's in you, but it's suppressed down, it's compressed, and you're in misery. Because you're not set free by the Word of God itself. Now watch. In Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is whose? What are you doing with it? I think about how we have destroyed the earth through the years. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Does he own it all? 1 Corinthians 6. The reason that people are going to die, I'm talking about a death that's not going to sleep. The reason people are going to die is they're rejecting the love of God. God's love is available to all men. Okay? There was an old thing years ago when doctors first started being doctors. The hypocritical oath was that they'd take care of people whether they had money or not. They had compassion for it. And they would literally live on chickens or whatever. If you couldn't pay, they'd say, well, pay me when you can or whatever. Try that today. Try that today. Try going to the doctor and see if they don't send you a bill in a hurry. Okay? 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. What? Hey, everybody, look here. Look right here. What? You see what the verse says? It says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own. Been haughty about that lately? Been haughty about that lately? My brother-in-law told me this story years ago, back when he was preaching, before he quit. He sat down and prayed to God. And he said, Lord, if you'll let me serve you, I'll quit doing the things I'm doing. And one of them was the electronics. And he had big plans. You know where he was at the next day? He was laying on his back in the hospital. That wasn't his plan. But it was God's. And then he suppressed what God wanted him to do. Nothing new, folks. We all do it. Israel did it. We suppress what God wanted him to do. Do you know, I thank God for that. He was offered the job with Brother Moore. Hey, we can go. And I did. Are you listening, folks? That wasn't in my plan. His wasn't in his plan. Mine wasn't in my plan. And God said, this is my plan. Are you awake? Get off the haughtiness. Get off the high horse. Quit suppressing and let God work. Be happy about it. Now watch, 1 Corinthians 6 and 20. For you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God. Where? Not just say so. Do you know what makes the feet of a preacher beautiful? They're willing to go. They're willing to go, folks. I was sweeping the porch a while ago and I thought, God probably will make me a hangnail in heaven. I might be a hangnail on Donnie. And I thought about it. God has given me the opportunity to go to Bible classes. And in spite of me, makes a way possible. I don't go because I've got enough money to go. I go and God is willing. Think about that in your life. Folks, that ain't just me. You have that too, that worketh in you. On everything you can do, that can work in you too. I walk by faith. I try to present you faith. You're supposed to walk by faith also. Now watch. For you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are whose? They're God's. Okay? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, I can go as long as I want today because we ain't got food. No. Ephesians chapter 2, look with me in verse 10. Four again. It's like what? Four. For we are His workmanship. Now folks, when God made something, He wanted it to do what He made it for. Right? It isn't about building a... Oh, it's very discouraging when people don't come here. But it was very undiscouraging. It was great to hear a woman got saved. I would love to be new people in here. I love the old people to come here. I'd love the people that have been here before to come back, do whatever. I love it. Why? It helps me. But that ain't what it's all about. It ain't about helping me. It's about people trusting the Lord and walking by faith. Discouragement is very easy when you're a pastor. Discouragement for you is very hard and very easy. Well, hard and very easy when you deal with somebody you love and they won't get it. That's very hard, isn't it? To ask somebody to deal with somebody and they just goes over their head. And that's very discouraging. But that is not verse 10. Now watch. For we are His workmanship. God did it, folks. I didn't do it. Created where? In Christ Jesus. Unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What if there's some good works, and we can walk in them? Well, let's check some things out. Look in Genesis chapter 1 again. And I want to get verse 31. How great was God's creation? Now this comes from the very mouth of God right here. In Genesis 1:31, and God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And that's why I know I'm wretched, because I can get mad as fire and ask God to damn it. I have tried every way in my life to get certain words out of mine, but when the anger of me and the wretchedness comes out, sometimes it comes out. And it's hard to overcome, folks. You ever found it's hard to overcome what you really are? It's miserable. And I apologize to the Lord, and I'm sick to death of it. And yet it comes back, oh, wretched man that I am. And I thank God for His workmanship. For without Him, I'd have never even been born. Now watch. So, what did God say? It was very. Is the word very before good? It was very good. He liked it. Okay? Look with me in 1 Corinthians 2. Here's where we are. Just sit down and shut up. I mean, let's just shut up here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. Well, who hath known the mind of the Lord that He may instruct him? Well, God, I believe that You should have made it a little different. God meant to say. Well, if God meant to say in one verse, maybe He meant to say something in Genesis 1. Right? Somebody said the Grand Canyon was created by water washing through it. No, it was created by God. The water washed through there and cut that out. They did, and cut the earth in half. God said, I want that. And you know what? He let us look at it. And it's astounding to our eyes in beauty. You lay on your back on a clear night and see the stars in heaven, and it's outstanding. God laid it there. And what do you think of that, chump? Did You instruct me on how to do that? You got this smirk on your face. Why don't you put a grin on it and say, God did it! God knew what He was doing. And God let us look at it, Paul. He was very good. I go in the mountains and I'm happy. I go to Florida. Kathy goes to Florida. She's happy. She goes to the mountains. She says, I came here for you. It would be a dull world if we all liked the same thing everywhere, wouldn't it? We like different things, and I praise God that God created different things, and our eyesight of it is beautiful. I'll bet you that Ronnie's eyesight of his lady sitting next to him is beautiful, and he's never seen her. He probably thinks she's the most wonderful person alive right now. You don't have to have the eyesight to see things, folks. The eyes of your understanding can enlighten you. Now watch. He says, who had known the mind of the Lord that He may instruct him? But we have the mind of who? How did Christ look at God? Did He love the Lord thy God with all His heart, mind, soul, and strength? Did He live to serve the Lord God Almighty, the Father? And we have the mind of who? Have you suppressed it to where you won't serve it? Well, I mean, hey, everybody, do this. Shake it off. Have you suppressed the mind of Christ to really enjoy what God hath given? Stress. Anger. Hatred. Variance. The work of the flesh. Love. Peace. Joy. Kindness. Thanksgiving. Fruit of the Spirit. It's easy to suppress, isn't it? Everybody okay? Let's go on. So, who instructed God? Go to Job, the book of Job. And see what he says in verse 38. Job kind of, you know, he was having a little argument with his buddies. Things wasn't going good. And so, after his argument with the three, and then, you know, there's a great discussion going on, a little argument here, and Job said, I didn't do nothing to cause this to come on me. Oh, you must have done something, Job. I didn't do nothing. Job 38, verse 1, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? NIV, RSV, ASV, Moffat, Williams, Dewey Rings. Those translations have darkened the counsel by words without knowledge. He said, gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee and answer thou me. Ho, what if God comes to you tonight in your bed and says, Donnie, tell me where you were at when I was creating. Pretty well no conversation there, is there? He comes to Harold, he says, Harold, tell me how them seed really grow. Lettuce seed. I put some lettuce out. Little bitty fellers. You can't put much dirt on them because they don't like to push. So I put a little sand in there and it wouldn't come up. That wouldn't come up. It said 4 or 5 days, I believe, what was written on the package. And so I went out there, got home the other day. It ain't come up. I said, man. I went in and got it. I said, I can't get nothing to grow. Of course I can't get nothing to grow. God can. And so God says, God says, go out there and look the next morning. Just everywhere. It decided to come up. I said, I'm sorry, Lord. Idiot that I am, it's growing. It's growing because I put it in the ground, but it's growing because God let it. I guarantee. Harold, I went with Harold and he was putting them peanut seed in the ground. And that peanut, when it puts it in the ground, it not only digs a hole, puts the, inoculate or whatever in, and then the seed, but then it covers it up, smooths it. So when you look back, you can't tell whether you've done anything or not. And I'm looking back there and I said, Harold, how do we know that seed went in the ground? He said, by faith! We got to the end of the road and there was some peanuts dripping. He said, nah, if you don't see any peanuts dripping, it didn't go in. I said, well, it has added. By faith, because you look back and you can't see it. The ground is smoothed out, ready for it to grow if it does. But it was in the ground. By faith. God already knows what He's going to do. He's already prepared for them that love God. He said, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So you're not going to bring anything new on Him today or tomorrow or the next week. He already knows. By walking by faith, I say, yes, Lord, I know that. I appreciate that, Lord, and I'm an idiot. Because I get to doubting. Job is asked a question. He said, verse 4, where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Where was your soul at when God was doing this? I'm really not sure, but God had it somewhere. He had it in the storage bank. Right? The hybrid seed bank. That's where it was at. Right. All right. Look in Romans 3. Now watch. Is there any answer that you could answer? No, you wouldn't know, would you? But I do know something. By the book of Ephesians, I know that He had us in mind before the foundation of the world. So I know where I was at. I was in God's mind. And you know what comes out of God's mind? His Word. In Romans chapter 3, verse 10, as written, there is none righteous, no, not one. How many times have you ever seen people get mad over that? I've had Bible classes absolutely leave over that verse. Just that verse right there. Verse 11. There is none that what? How many understand? How many? Say it again in harmony. None that understand. Then where does that leave us in the scheme of things? Not understanding. So wouldn't it be a great deal to read the directions? When in doubt, read the directions. Somebody said, how are you going to do that? I said, well, I'm trying to find me some directions that's written down that somebody has done it before knows. Are you listening? Somebody that has done it before knows. Nothing like experience, right? All right, now watch. Turn with me to Isaiah 45. Why did God make the earth? Well, He said it was very good when He made creation. But here it tells me something. Isaiah 45, verse 18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it. Not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is not going to be an atomic bomb destroy the earth. You know all that fear. You know why? Because what does that verse say? Is it going to be inhabited? Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. That pretty well leaves the atomic bomb out. Right? Will it be inhabited? Okay, so why did God make the earth? Inhabit it. Look in Psalm 115, which, curiously, is followed by Psalm 118. All right. In Psalm 115, look with me in verse 16. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. Want to read with me the end of the verse? The earth has He given to the children of men. What about it? What did He give the earth to? What have they done with it? They have corrupted it. That's what He said. They've corrupted it. Okay? So God gave the earth. Now, look in Revelation 20. And this brings up a point to me. In Revelation 20, verse 3, this is about, and there's no question who it's about in verse 2, He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan. I'm pretty sure his name is those, okay? Cast him in the bottomless pit, shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. What does Satan do? He's a deceiver, okay? Look in Ephesians chapter 1. Who entered Judas to betray the Lord? Question. Why did God let the serpent in the garden? Why did he let him in Judas? Let's see if we can see something. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Now, when Satan was led in the garden, and when he was led into Judas, what is before all that? Before the foundation of the world, right? Ephesians 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. This is not the earth. What did he give to the sons of men? What's the problem with the sons of men? What did they inherit? The nature of what? Sin. You are not in sin. You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, may the Spirit of God dwell in you. Where is your inheritance? Let's see. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according to He has chosen us in Him. Next word. Before what? That's before Satan went in the garden. That's before Satan went into Judas. Well, then there's something involved here about God's will. Turn with me to Ephesians. Well, since you're there, we'll just go ahead and read. Time's sake, I'm looking at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace. Did God know His grace was coming before Satan entered the garden? Did He know before Judas, Satan entered into him? And you understand why I'm using Judas? What did Judas do to the Lord Jesus Christ? To get Him what? Killed. And what did Satan want to do? He wanted to kill Jesus. Why? Because Jesus was promoting an earthly kingdom for the sons of men. The devil's trying to work on the promise that God gave man the earth. He wants to destroy the things of the earth so that men don't get God's promise to them. And all along there's a mystery working that you and I, before the foundation of the world, had been given something holy without blame before Him in love. His workmanship. Now watch. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein made us accepted in the beloved. All right? Then we are to praise the glory of His grace, right? So what am I supposed to, how am I supposed to walk around? Did you die? What am I supposed to do in that verse? To the praise of the glory of His grace. I'm supposed to be one on this earth that gives God the glory. Why? The rest of the men are not giving God the glory of His grace. A believer is to give God the glory of His grace, for he has been given that knowledge. Don't you have the mind of Christ? Father, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. He gave God the glory. He had by faith, believed that God the Father raised Him from the dead, and He would do the work that He had in mind before the foundation of the world, that He would save you, justify you, glorify you. Make you holy without blame before Him in love. The devil don't know none of this. God does. God Almighty does. Look at verse 9. Having made known unto us His will. Is it a mystery? Verse 9. For His good pleasure. He purposed. These words, look at them. Look at what He's saying there. Made known unto us the mystery of His will. So His will has been made known. The good pleasure. He hath purposed in Himself. Are you with me? Is that what it says? Did I lose you? Then you go to chapter 2, verse 10 again. For we are His workmanship. By the way, where was Satan when God told the dust to stand up? Did Satan help him? Did he tell him how to create man? No. Well, then how can Satan tell you how to make God more perfect? Did I miss you? If Satan, who teaches men, he has his own ministers, won't he try to make God more perfect in his ways? And how can he make God more perfect when God already did what he was going to do? Are you complete in Christ? Perfect in Him, Philippians 3. Holy without blame before Him in love. Glorified, justified, seated. Crucified already, buried and risen. Seated at the right hand of the Father. You know what verse 11 says? Wherefore remember. Ephesians 2:11. Wherefore remember. Then He tells you what you're to remember. Then He's supposed to glorify. Our glory should be in verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you are sometimes formed, made now by the blood of Christ. We're in the household of God. Then verse 12 of chapter 1, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. God found, and I think about Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord because Harold Gaines would be born. And God gave time for them to see the truth, that they might give Him the praise and the glory for what He did. Paul, our apostle, said, I thank God who separated me from my mother's womb. I wasn't born into a world of misery. I was born into the household of God. It took some time for me to see that, but I give Him the praise and glory for it now. I didn't know what God had done until God gave me the mind of Christ. And when He gave me the mind of Christ, I began to see it was His workmanship, and I walk in it. And I thank God that He saved me, sealed me, secured me, will never forsake me, and has me in Christ, and my life is hid there. Nobody can mess with it. And I thank God for that. One passage, I'll show you, turn to Psalm 116. It's a little humbling, isn't it, to know what God did. And did it for you and I in spite of ourselves. In Psalm 116, verse 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits towards me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. How about that? What can I do for You, Lord? Take my salvation. It's free. What can I do, Lord? You can trust me. I don't give it unless You believe. You cannot earn it, you cannot buy it, and you cannot deserve it. I give it to you by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created unto Christ Jesus, unto good works. Created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. The power of God I give glory as the gospel of Christ. He died for our sins. According to Scripture, He was buried, and He rose again the third day, and God accepts that and that alone. I appreciate you being here today.